Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to thy seed, or to the seed of Abraham thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned not from them and destroyed them not, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah before the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Israel. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the name of the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Berakah unto this day. And they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly, and he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eleazar, the son of Dodava, of Mareshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. And the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, Josiah's kind of a head-scratcher, isn't he? He does so many things that are so very good, and then he has this penchant for joining with the northern kingdom in their wickedness. And so that is his downfall. That is his weakness. But let's not focus on his weakness, because the chapter gives much space to Jehoshaphat's triumph here. And let's spend time in that. So the Ammonites, the Moabites, and Seir, Edom, Esau's descendants, they gather up, join their forces, and they're going to come and assault Judah. They're striking against the southern kingdom. Jehoshaphat sees them amassed. He receives the scouting report that they are amassing their forces. And so what does Jehoshaphat do? It's very interesting what he does not do, or what is not recorded in the passage, and what he does. The first thing that he does not do is he does not assemble the army. He doesn't call the generals together. He calls for the priests. He proclaims a fast. He calls for prayer and fasting in such a day as that. Well, I already spoke to you about this before today, but I'll say it again. What our leaders ought to be doing today is calling us to pray and to fast for the difficulties, the trials that the Lord is sending in the southern end of our country. Should we amass a cleanup crew, and ought we use our best engineering and physical talents to stanch the flow of oil? Absolutely. We should be doing that. We want to pray, and when we pray, we want to put feet to our prayers. It is foolishness, as William Gurnall has said, to pray and to pray for food and not to work. Right? He says, pray and work, or pray and starve. I like the way he puts that. Yes, we want to put feet to our prayers, but we don't trust in our feet. We don't trust in means. We trust in God, who is able to make means effectual, to establish us, and to defeat our enemies, and to overcome our trials, no matter what they are. Jehoshaphat here, he didn't neglect to call the army together. It simply wasn't the first thing he did. The first thing he did was to do what matters. Because you can throw as many soldiers at it as you want. You can throw as many robots as you want at the hole in the bottom of the ocean. You can throw as many ships and cleanup crews at it that you want. But unless the Lord is in it, it shall not prosper. That's it. That's the bottom line. Jehoshaphat knows where to go. He goes right to the Lord. Calls for a fast. Oh, for a magistrate today that would call for a fast. Would tell us to repent to the triune God for our sins, rather than calling false gods real gods. Of course, these are some of the things for which we ought to repent. So he gathers together all the people of Israel. He goes to the Lord and he sets himself to pray. He calls the people together to the place of worship. He proclaims a fast. And then, as the chronicler records it for us, he sought the Lord. It's great. He sought the Lord. This is not to deny means, but to work in conjunction with it. And so, 6 points to his prayer. He calls upon God for His sovereignty, for His power, for His past history of blessing, for His promises, for His covenant, and for His justice. There's a 6-point outline that'll preach. Sovereignty, power, past history of blessing, promises, covenant, and justice. And then he commits himself to the Lord for the outcome and answer. That's faith. That's what a prayer of faith looks like. All right, so what's interesting about the passage is they're all assembled there. They're all in the court of the Lord. And they have said, Lord, we don't know what to do. We're in your hands. And they're standing there. I mean, that's the picture of the chronicler here. They're standing there. They're praying, of course, and they're weeping, probably. And they're crying out to the Lord, but that's all they're doing. They don't know what to do. And then the Lord answers. He sends them a prophet. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the midst of the congregation, and he tells them what they should do. Isn't that great? What kindness. What wonder that the Lord raised up a prophet in their midst to tell them what to do. You know that most of us never find the answers to our questions because we answer them ourselves. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that people will come to you and they'll say, hey, I've got a question for you. Can I ask you a question? Get your advice on something. It happens to me from time to time. You know, whether it's at the office or sometimes I'll get a phone call and I want to get your advice on something. Okay. 1, 2, 3. I want to ask you this. What do you think? Well, I think X, Y, Z. Oh, no. I can't do that. Okay, then why'd you ask? Right? Many times we have already answered our own questions when we're asking for counsel. We're just going to ask until we get the right answers. Right in quotations. Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel, or Judah that day, stood before the Lord without an answer, waiting for Him, waiting for the Lord. They didn't answer the question themselves. They waited upon God for His answer. So He sent His prophet, and notice the particulars of the answer. Here you go. Do not be afraid of the enemy. The battle is the Lord's. Go out against them and be prepared to behold. That's all. Here's your great part in this action. You ready? Muster up and behold. That's all. No fighting. No swordplay. No stratagems. Behold, the Lord will be with you. And the response of Jehoshaphat is humble thanks. And the people worshiped the Lord following the lead of the king. As I told you this morning, they followed the king when he made an alliance with the northern kingdom to their hurt. Now they follow him to their good when he humbly thanks the Lord before the people. Again, listen up, those of us who are in positions of authority. There are people looking to us. Right? Elders, pastors, fathers, mothers, even older brothers, older sisters. Very important that we set a good example before them. All right, so verses 20 through 30. The king encourages the people to faith, to hearing the word of the Lord, that their only prosperity is hearing the word of the Lord. They're not putting their trust in horses. They're not putting their trust in their armaments. They're not putting their trust in robots at the bottom of the ocean or engineers in the office. They're putting their trust in the Lord, implying all the means at their disposal. So then they send the singers forth, and what are the singers singing? Anybody recognize what they were singing? Ki la'olam chasdo, right? His mercy endures forever. Psalm 118. It's Psalm 118 that the singers are singing when they go forth. We have a psalm-singing army here. That's their primary weapon. They're singing the psalms. Today they would be laughed off of the field, or maybe they would be laughed onto the field. Right? Again, it is of the Lord to save by many or by few. So the army goes forth singing Psalm 118, and the Lord did what He said He would do. They did not move one sword in defeat of their enemies. The Lord prospered His people with the spoil. They blessed the Lord and named the valley in commemoration of the event for a witness to later generations. Right? I mean, why would they name the valley of Barakah, the valley of blessing? Why would they name that? For themselves? No. So they could tell their children, there's a valley out there named Baraka. You know why we named it Baraka? So we could tell you, the next generation, about the time when the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites all came against us. They joined their forces and they're coming at us from every direction. And the Lord told us simply go out there and watch Him while He defeats everyone. And He did. And He blessed us that day. So we named that place Baraka. Brothers and sisters, these are our stories. These are the stories we should be telling our children. The stories of blessing. The stories that have names attached to them. Daniel in the lion's den. Stories such as that. And then the final portion of the chapter wraps up Jehoshaphat's reign. And he goes and he makes an allegiance with Amaziah, king of Israel, who was an idol worshiper, a Baal worshiper. And so there were times when even these, one of the best of kings, Jehoshaphat, the king who called the people of the Lord together, proclaimed a fast and watched while the Lord delivered them. The king to whom the Lord sent a prophet to speak to him the word of God, to tell him what to do in a day when he didn't know what to do and called upon God to know what to do. That king, although he did all these good things, again, the honesty of the Scriptures is impeccable. The openness of the Scriptures is impeccable, telling us that Jehoshaphat also had difficulties, weaknesses. And it seems like ecumenicism was one of his weaknesses. And so he joined with the ungodly. He'd already been rebuked by Jehu the prophet. And so this was especially egregious, and the Lord brought it to nothing before his eyes. All right, thus ends the reading of 2 Chronicles chapter 22.